It's the Congressional Corner. I'm here with Elliot Engel of New York's fabulous 16th District, a Democrat in office since 1989. Elliot, how does your district look? I mean, where does it go? You have Co-op City, I know that, right?
Yes, well, you know, every 10 years the districts change based on the census of the previous year. And so I've had several changes because I've been in Congress for, this will be my, going into my 30th year. My current district, which is 10-year period, it'll be the same district till, I believe, 2022, is about one-third in the North Bronx and two-thirds in southern Westchester. So in the North Bronx, if you from river to river, Co-op City all the way through to Riverdale, Co-op City, Williamsbridge, Wakefield, Woodlawn, North Riverdale, and Riverdale. That's essentially my district within the Bronx. And then in Westchester, it's the same thing. It goes from river to river, Yonkers, New Rochelle, Mount Vernon, Pelham. And then a little further up, we have Hastings on Hudson, Scarsdale, and Ardsley, and Larchmont, Mamaroneck, Rye, Eastchester. So it's really a very nice district, and I really enjoy representing it.
Well, that's fabulous. Elliot Engel, tell me, you're in the House of Representatives right now. We just saw the most remarkable thing happen down in Alabama. A Democrat gets elected for the first time in 25 years to the United States Senate. Do you smell something coming?
I really do. Of course, each race has unique circumstances, so that, of course, is taken into account, too. But after looking at the results of the November 2017 elections, watching New Jersey and watching Virginia and seeing Democrats winning in state legislatures around the country, coupled with what happened yesterday in Alabama, I really think that we're really on the move. I think that people in this country are fed up with the president and fed up with the direction the Republicans are taking us and are really clamoring for change. And what's really different is their voting. You know, it's not as if they're staying home and grumbling and not coming to the polls. What happened in Alabama was a great get out the vote, and African Americans came out and they were pulled out, so that the percentage of the vote in Alabama was a larger percentage of African Americans who voted than in previous years. And I think a combination of message, you know, a lot of women who are college educated and live in the suburbs, who would generally vote Republican, are really fed up. And we think that those are the people that are going to switch based on what we saw in 2017 and what we saw yesterday. So we think that those votes are up for grabs. But, you know, it's not going to fall into our laps. We're going to have to work hard for every vote. We're going to have to show where we differ from the Republicans, and believe me, we do. We have to show why working class, middle class people need to vote Democratic. And I think that we need to make a compelling case, and I think we will. I think the climate is right. The people that I meet in the street are all enthused, which is another thing. The Democratic enthusiasm is all the way up, and the Republican pessimism is all the way up. You know, I think their enthusiasm is down. And very often elections are decided by who comes out and votes, obviously. If the one side is demoralized and doesn't bother to vote, then obviously that's a help for the other side. And I think right now Democrats are much more motivated to come out and vote. And I think the Republicans are just the opposite. They have the president, Donald Trump, as an albatross around their neck, and they're not happy about it at all. And so I have a lot of hope, but again, it's not going to drop into our laps, and we have to work hard for each and every vote and let people know why they should vote Democratic. Otherwise, we don't deserve to have people's votes. You have to fight for each and every vote. You cannot take anything for granted. You have to make sure that your base turns out, and then you attract as many independents as you can to come over to your side. I think that if we look at what's happened in the past year under the Trump presidency, I think any person who's not a partisan, who's just looking at this from a somewhat detached point of view, has to be horrified at what they've seen coming from this administration. So I think the climate is looking good, but we've got to work for each and every vote.
You know, I was fascinated, Elliot Engel, about the exit polling, which showed that Trump, who had really done very well in the reddest state in the country, was only at 50-50 in terms of people who thought what he was doing was good. Well, if that's happening in Alabama, you can imagine what's happening in the rest of the country.
Exactly, exactly. That's why I said that I think a lot of people who might nominally vote Republican are going to have second thoughts this year. And I hope the Democratic base continues to be enthused and whipped up, because it's a combination of you getting your vote out and the other side not getting their vote out. So I think that in Alabama is the same thing like the rest of the country. And I think that it's even more stark, as you say, because that's such a red state normally.
I'm so fascinated by what you said before, which is that the minority vote, the black vote, turned out, and turned out big. Now, in previous elections, that isn't the case. We saw some outstanding leaders, Cory Booker and some others, down there. But what do you think the secret was?
Well, I think that we're learning, and it's about time, quite frankly. I mean, you know, you assume that if an African-American person is going to vote in the Senate race in Alabama, they're not going to vote for Ray Moore. I mean, so it's every person you get out. I mean, nothing's 100%, you know, but I'm sure, you know, 88-90% of African-Americans who voted voted for Doug Jones, the Democrat. And I think that that's really important. And in previous elections, the turnout was low. And so we lost because the African-American vote is an important part of the Democratic Party base. And I think that we have to maximize the turnout. There were some districts where the turnout was even greater yesterday than when Barack Obama ran. And when I started to hear about that, I started to get hope, because originally when the results were coming in, you may remember, the Democrat was down 4 or 5 points. But once we saw the large turnout and we saw where the uncounted votes were from, we started to gain hope, and sure enough, we did it.
I got 2 minutes for net neutrality. It's in peril. How dangerous is this?
Well, you know, I think that what a person does on the internet should be free and open to the best extent possible for everybody. Once you start making exceptions, where does it end? You know, we passed a bill several months ago, and it passed both houses and was signed by the president, which allows content, anything you watch on your computer, anything you do on your computer, of course it can be traced, and it can be sold now to companies that want to market people. And I think that's a terrible invasion of privacy. And I think it's not something that should stand. I hope someone challenges it in court, because I just think it's a horrific thing for privacy. And we have to be careful when we're talking about the internet, whether it's privacy or net neutrality or anything. You know, you don't want to create a system where you know, rich people again get much more than the average person gets. So I think we have to be very, very careful. You know, I don't like what the FCC is doing, but, you know, we have to be very careful about it.
It's always great to talk to you, Elliot. I appreciate this so much, and spending time with us. I know our listeners down in the lower Hudson Valley are going to appreciate it also. So thank you so much for being with us. When we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about your major role as the ranking member, the top guy on the Committee on Foreign Affairs.